Hi, everyone. Welcome to a special episode of the TimingResearch.com Analyze Your Trade. This is episode 119 for Saturday, March 21st, 2020. We are recording this at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And my name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com. And for the special episode today, I have arranged for Anka Metcalf and Jim, the option professor, to join us. And Jim will be moderating. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay. Thank you, David. And welcome everybody here on a Saturday morning. A very early Saturday morning if you're in Pacific time. But it is good to have you here. And again, we've had a very difficult market for the people that are long and the people that are in their 401ks and things like that definitely have seen some liquidation. So we're going to try to cover things today, give you an overview on what our opinions are, and also give you some specific opinions on the list that we have here. Today we have Anka Metcalf. And Anka, you're going to give a little background on yourself for those people who are not familiar with you, and also what's going on down at your company.
Yes. Thank you so much, Jim. And good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me. So my name is Anka Metcalf, and I'm the CEO and founder of TradeOutloud.com, which is a trading education firm that is specialized in educating individuals how to day trade and swing trade, and also actively invest in the futures and the equities market. I have been doing this professionally for the last 17 years. And prior to becoming a professional independent trader, I come with 10 plus years in investment banking. I'm also the designer of an institutional proprietary trading system. And the reason why I'm saying I'm the designer is that I cannot take credit for it. Technical analysis was there way before I came into trading. But my strategies and my focus is price support resistance and the seven layers of price support resistance. I correlate this with specific trigger times for day trading, specific price zones that I focus on when initiating the trade, and also for target purposes, and also chart synchronicity and divergency. I am also focused on high odds, high velocity moves when I'm day trading, and also swing trading and active investing.
Well, I think that's good for people that are trying to keep things on a short leash, because in this market, keeping things on a short leash has probably been helpful because giving the market room either way, you know, can be pretty devastating. We have a list of stocks here that we are going to go over. And after we do about half of them, Anka is going to go over some of her specific ideas that she's following. But before we get started, let's share some opinions on what's happening overall right now. Anka, you know, what's your view on, you know, how we got here, and also basically where we are and where we might be going?
Thank you, Jim. So obviously, on the background of massive panic selling, you can see that the SPX took, and basically the entire market took a very hard hit to the downside, a much steeper correction than probably everyone was even imagining. And we were just, and we are just erasing levels of support. It is an unprecedented event. It's actually a black swan event. And it has, throughout time, you could say that these things occur in some situations, but this is the most accentuated that I have seen and traded. So I have traded from back in 2000. I have traded the pullbacks that were literally gradual because there was no pandemic. So there was an economic meltdown, but it was not a pandemic. This is a threat literally to humanity, right? So people are panicking. There is avalanche selling, waterfall selling. And of course, you know, with every news that is coming out, the market is just rolling more and more to the downside. I think that, you know, as long as we're going to be staying in this context, there can be more selling underway. However, I think the market is not looking for a stimulus, although this is to help the economy. But I think what the market needs to hear right now is some kind of slowdown in the spread. And I think that this is the first factor where that we need to compute as traders and take advantage of the momentum when that will occur. So let's not forget that every time when, you know, before things get better, they get a little bit worse, and then we're on the way to recovery. What I want to mention here is that this deep drop in the market is not an economic drop, because if you look back at, you know, where we were a month ago, so we were trading into the all-time highs. I mean, literally, that is 3 months ago, about 4 weeks ago, a month ago. And this is coming on the background of a really strong economy. And this literally erased all that. So we're expecting the unemployment claims. I was reading articles that they were mentioning probably 20% unemployment claims, unemployment rate, I'm sorry. And this is definitely going to be the economy's hit. And obviously, it's really going to take some time to recover, but there are some opportunities in this market. And I think that both you and I are going to discuss these opportunities that are for traders. And one other thing that I wanted to mention, we are blessed as traders because we can work from our own home and we're not affected by this economic meltdown. But the reality is that we see every recession opportunity just a good every recession has a good opportunity to load up on some stocks that we wish we had moving into this unbelievable bull market that we've that we had basically from 2009 that ran to 2015, and then we had a little hiccup, and then post-election the massive rally that we had to the outside. So now's the time to get your shopping list ready for some really great amazing opportunities.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that we're getting down to what they call the value zone, where you can look at both bonds and stocks and say that the values are better. The key is obviously there's a price to earnings ratio, and we have no idea what the earnings are going to be since obviously nobody's out there spending any money. But I just wanted to kind of put things in a little perspective for people who don't do this all the time, maybe, or maybe they're not that, shall we say, experienced at it. Because in my updates, I've been telling people for a long time that, obviously the valuation was getting way out of hand. The buybacks were fueling quite a bit of the rally, and passive investing, where people just put money into these ETFs and they just sit there and they sit there. And of course, with the buybacks, the prices are being pushed up and pushed up. GDP is not really growing that much, and earnings are not growing that much. So the foundation of the move is really, really suspect. And then what happens is in every black swan, you only get a black swan if there's an imbalance. In other words, you get a black swan in 1987 because you had leverage buyouts getting way out of control. And in 2000, you had it because the dot-coms got way out of control. And then you had an imbalance in real estate and banking leverage in 08. And now where was the imbalance? The imbalance was is all this money being plowed into passive investing. And again, when it turns over, obviously you have to have people on the other side of the trade, because when these passive investors turn into sellers and then you start hitting other factors coming in, you've got an avalanche of selling into a no buyer environment. And that's why the Fed has been slowly coming around to the concept that they need to be the bid. We don't need a lower loan rate. I mean, European loan demand has collapsed. Nobody's going to go out and take a loan out. What they need is they need somebody in there to buy with all the avalanche of selling coming out of the ETFs and all the avalanche of selling coming out of the fixed income products. They need a bid. They need somebody to be the bid. They're now buying commercial paper. They're supposed to be buying munis. These are the kind of things that have to happen if you're going to stabilize an avalanche of selling like this. Now, like I say, we are going to get down to lower levels here, and I think there'll probably be some very good values, as Anka's saying. I think with the chorus of saying that there's going to be a huge snapback to the highs and we'll actually be up at the end of the year, some people have said, that's a pretty aggressive forecast. When you're going to see unemployment numbers on Thursday, that might be 2 or 3 million people claiming for unemployment. So we're a service economy, which is different than China, which is a manufacturing economy, which means what? China, just when they're done being sick, just get back in the factories and start making things. That's a pretty good switch, right? Now we have to switch back into going out to eat, buying stuff, going to the shops or whatever. In other words, we have to get the people that are on hourly and tips to start getting a lot of action. And I don't know how fast human behavior is going to be to run back into that lifestyle after what we're going, everyone's walking around with masks and grabbing as much toilet paper as possible. As a matter of fact, that hoarding mentality is one of the problems here. They're hoarding toilet paper, water, and pasta, and now they're hoarding their money. In fact, there were some rumors that some of the big mutual fund companies might suspend selling or deliver your stock back to you in lieu of selling it out for you. So there's a lot of different things going on that are pretty amazing. So again, we'll get into a lot of this stuff as we go further into the broadcast, but I think Anka and myself do share an opinion that things are definitely getting hit hard, and there very well could be some very good opportunities here, but going willy-nilly with a checkbook may not be the way to go either. So let's start out with the first stock, and the first stock is called Microsoft, and of course, this is really the leader in the nation as far as stocks are concerned, and so when this goes on sale, people start to notice. Again, Anka, you'd have to admit that tech was one of the last things, tech and growth was one of the last things to really get hit here. People were really reluctant to throw the baby out with the bathwater with tech and stuff like that. So what's your feeling on Microsoft?
My feeling on Microsoft is that I actually was looking at the daily formation and it was trying to hold for the longest period of time. So I'm just going to go very quickly to the daily. So the daily chart, you can see here that, you know, starting with March 16th, so for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days, so a whole entire week, no new lows, even though the market was making new lows, the general market was making new lows and we felt a lot of pressure. I think that we're trying to see some kind of a bottom. And this comes in the context that this holdback, this massive holdback that happened, I mean, let alone, you know, we were trading like a month and a couple of weeks ago into all-time highs, into the 190. And now we're trading into the 137. And I think that there was a massive support here. There is massive support here from this range. And I think that the price is trying to hook into this prior support level right here. And I think if it trades over 150 into next week, I think this is going to be a very good indication that there may be some kind of recovery from Microsoft. And also from the consumer standpoint, I think that there's going to be a big demand for computers, taking into consideration that not everybody, but most of the individuals, and I'm talking about, you know, companies that are telling employees to work from home. So the demand of computers, the demand of obviously software is going to be high. And I think that Microsoft is not going to be as hit as, you know, as a cruise liner or, you know, as an airliner. So I think that there's great potential in Microsoft as long as we're holding this low and going into next week. I'm actually very optimistic about this, contingent on holding these lows right here. So this week is very important. And also for me, it is very important to this 2019 level from that came with a massive breakout into October. But I think if it's trying to get a hook into here, and as long as we see it popping above this 150 level, I think it's going to take off a little bit. Now, I'm not going to be overly bullish on this environment. And I think it's the right thing to do is to take baby steps in this and take very short, short-term swings. I think the proportion is very important right now, because I always think that it's better to have a small piece of a pot of the pie than no pie at all. Excuse me, than no pie at all. Because it's better to layer in and not put, you know, all the funds into one stock or all the, all the risk that you usually use on an ongoing market in a trending market into this trade. But I think there, if we scale in, maybe you could leave one scale in and then we could, you know, just try to take it a little bit higher, but trailing it very, very tight. So I'm not going to be complacent in this market. I'm just going to look for opportunities, get in small. I'm going to be using half of my usual risk because capital preservation comes first for me. And I think it should be for everyone, especially in this market environment. But I think when things are going to settle down, I think the market is going to start ripping to the upside and it's going to start finding the buyers that it really wants right now at these levels. So from my standpoint of view, I think going into next week, if we trade over this 150 level, I think we're going to start pushing higher. And from the daily structure, it needs to get, again, over this 200 SMA. And I think we're probably going to find some buyers at least into the 156 level. So we still have a little bit of room for the upside. And then we'll see what happens. I think this is the kind of market where we pretty much take it one day at a time and not rush into things.
Yeah, it does seem like it has a lot of support, like you say, right there. And again, the VIX did have a triple top up there at 85, and now it's at 66. So if that VIX is going to get a little bit lower, then obviously that would be coinciding more than likely with some kind of a rally. And again, that might coincide with a bounce out of such a bad week. Maybe some type of a counter trend bounce could happen. But I was looking at Microsoft on a little more of a bigger picture. You know, a lot of stocks seem to be going either down to the December 2018 lows or to the 2016 lows. And obviously, this stock here has approached neither of them. Now, if we were going to see a bigger move down towards 100, that would probably have to mean, because it's in the S&P indexes and a lot of other ones, that the S&P may go down to that 50% correction of 2000, or even worst case, down to that 61% 10% correction down at 1700. I think under those circumstances, you could see a lower Microsoft, but without those circumstances, you know, then this 135 area or whatever could be reasonable. But do you believe if we did see a further break into those further corrective stages of 50% and 61%, that obviously Microsoft could be bought at 100?
Definitely. I see huge opportunity here at 100. If we should get this price back to 100, I think there's a really massive opportunity into the 100.
Yeah, because it might not be realistic to expect somebody who controls the cloud that much to get much further than the December lows of 18. To go all the way down to the 2016 lows, you'd have to be buying Microsoft for 60. And I don't know that that's in the cards unless, it really turned south very, very badly. But anyway, obviously it's one of the great companies around. So, you know, if you can get it at a discount and hold on to it for years, or if you want to trade it because it is probably going to bounce around quite a bit, just like the S&P, you can get some pretty good short-term swings out of it too, huh?
Absolutely. And this is the general idea. I typically don't like to get it on support because to me, support is a double, double-edged sword. Yeah. You could either get, very quickly stopped out of the trade or, right. You know, you could get lucky. So if you want to buy off the support off of these lows right here, I didn't, but definitely this was a pretty good, opportunity just hitting it as soon as you see that 2-day consolidation here, 2 days where the low is holding and the third day you could try to get it back into the high. So it would basically be like a range type of trade, range bound trade, because the reality is that we have no reason yet to short into this level because, as a longer term, traders, because when you're looking at the weekly chart, nothing tells us, that this is not an ongoing trend. I mean, this is still a very, very bullish trend. And even onto the monthly chart, I mean, this is just a very steep pullback created by this pandemic.
And this is not a business that's going away.
No, exactly. This is not.
People need to get this product. Businesses need this product. So it's not a situation where they can fool around. But that doesn't mean you couldn't get a steal if you're patient and things unwind a little bit. Because again, these unemployment numbers are going to scare people. Not only that, the GDP and earnings numbers are going to be very shocking to people as well. And, you know, again, when they get shocked, sometimes they do crazy things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We got Microsoft as a possible bounce this week on a short-term basis, and on a longer-term basis, the jury's still out.
Yeah.
With regards to the next one, this has been the disaster du jour. You know, it reminds me of General Electric in some respects, in that in 2000, you know, everyone thought buying General Electric was like buying money market, and then that didn't work out so well. And then Boeing, of course, was supposed to be in this duopoly, and they're supposedly selling all these planes that are in the parking lot now, and with a turn down in the economy, who knows who's going to buy what plane? Since 90% of travel has been suspended, I don't think they need more planes. They need more passengers. So anyway, we got Boeing at $95. It used to be $460. And what the heck's going on down here?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. This is either going to be a really good steal in the upcoming month, or this could be another General Electric story. We'll see. I think, worldwide, we still need aircrafts. I mean, I don't see Boeing going to zero. Definitely is going to need a lot of help, a lot of government help, of funding. But it is mind-boggling how I can see this stock that was almost $450 trading at $95 right now. It closed on Friday. And you can see that I took my cursor all the way to 2013, April 2013. This is where we are literally at right now, at that April 2013. It is an unbelievable move down. Can we see recovery on this? This is, again, a very high time frame. It is a monthly chart. I don't know. I mean, we're going to have to wait and see. Let me just give Max available here so we can see the trajectory of price. So we do have some resistance here, but resistance has nothing to do with the situation right now. So now we have to see, will there be any buyers at this point? Is literally the bailout, right? Because we're talking about a bailout here, going to help this stock. In the long run, I think that, technically speaking, it will be a steal. Remember that if there were buyers that were lining up that $350 and into this range that took the price higher for another $100. I mean, I think that it's definitely going to find buyers somewhere into the 95 or, you know, maybe 50. I'm looking at 50 as support right here as a, you know, that flat line, that this may be a really bargain. Imagine buying Boeing at $50. I mean, this is unprecedented. And remember, a lot of traders that have not been trading into the 2008, 2009 market, this is definitely going to offer investors that type of investment opportunity. This is one, not one in a lifetime, but it's definitely, going to have a great impact on opportunity for buying at this point.
This is one that has come down to the 2016 levels. And of course, you couldn't get more of an inside company with the government than Boeing, because obviously they do so much, I think, with the Defense Department. So the likelihood that they're going to be able to get money from the government is probably somewhere around 100%.
Exactly. But
the thing is you wonder, you know, how much of the equity, because, you know, everyone's beating the drums that they spent all their money on stock buybacks. That's why they have no money in the bank now. And so the key here is is the government going to be an owner of 20% of this company? And what will that do to the common shareholder and all that? So there's a lot of questions here, as you know, and it looks like they're liquidating the company because I guess they're $9 billion negative tangible book right now because their revenue's dried up because, you know, you can't get paid for planes that are in your parking lot. So, you would say that, it's a story stock for sure, huh?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I would not, to the shorter term trader, you know, there can still be, I'm sorry, what?
No, I said, yes, you're right. On the shorter term situation, it's obviously a totally different situation. Do you see a bounce possibly out of this 90-95 area?
Well, I was actually looking at it from the daily structure, and it was really trying. I mean, I'm seeing these dojis here, and there was a lot of indecision at the $95 level. And you can see that this is the core of this mini range right here, that $95. I definitely think that we may get like a little short squeeze over 107. That may take the price a little bit higher, at least into the 125, 135, close to 150. And then here, it's going to be another decision point zone. And from which point we may still, go back down or we may start going up. But I think we got to take it like one day at a time because these are, remember that these shifts in direction happen first on smaller time frames and they get reflected on the larger time frame. So I think that the daily chart for an investor, for a swing trader is a really good, really, really good gauge. And try to read behind the candlesticks, try to read behind the technicals here. So yeah, I truly believe that if it trades over this 107 area, it's going to start a short squeeze going into 150. And then here's the thing, because here we have this resistance, right, into the 150. But the reality is that if the price is going to get into this 150, it's going to do this nice weekly reversal that it may have room for further continuation higher. So we're just going to have to take it one day at a time. But this is something that I would watch on Monday. And if on Monday it's going to trade over this 107 area, I'm going to nibble at least a little for a short squeeze for higher. And I think the velocity is going to be pretty consistent here, at least into the 125 and into the 140. And if we get a decrease, and like I said, I think the market really wants to hear, a decrease in infected individuals, a decline, that curve needs to flatten or go down a little bit. And then there's going to be a little bit more optimism in the market because I think that investors right now are really scared. Traders are really scared to start engaging to the long side. And that's why we're having this massive sell. Everybody's liquidating. Nobody wants to, everybody's pulling their money out. Everybody wants to be cash. Nobody wants to throw money. Like you said earlier,
they're hoarding the money. Yeah.
Everybody's sitting on their hands right now. And that's the big problem. We need to see buyers back into the market.
And you're getting into some forced selling. The CME had to liquidate a company on Friday. So you're getting people that are being found out on where they are leverage wise. And when you start hearing companies getting forced out, generally you're closer to the low than the high, right?
True. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I like this indecision.
This one has a big gap here, Anka, that you said also between 110 and 120. So, if the VIX started to drop and say they said something about it, they're close to getting a deal for Boeing, the next thing you would know is maybe the shorts might be scared
out at that point.
You would think that the selling, you would think anybody who wanted to sell Boeing has done it yet, unless people have been away and didn't get the newspaper, right?
Yeah.
Let's turn to the next guy, which is Square, which was, you know, doing very well until the drop here. And then, of course, it's another half price, more than half price down here at around 38 bucks. Mm-hmm. But there you got that stem down there. And maybe you could trade against that stem down the bottom, huh?
Yeah. Also, I want to zoom in to the monthly chart here. This is a really abrupt pullback here. So we had an uptrend pullback basing here. So we could see that, you know, back in February, this was really ready for a breakout. In fact, it broke above these highs, last year's highs, and it looked very good for the upside to go back into the 100, and then this came. So I think that Square is not going to be one of these companies that is going to be severely hit. I think more and more individuals are going to want to purchase, you know, using some kind of form that would alleviate touching money, right? So from my point of view, I think, you know, from the investor side, I think that this is going to be a steal, but has it found a bottom yet? I really don't know. I'm going to be very conservative in my decision. I don't know, maybe over $50 going into next week. The daily structure here has tried to rotate and go a little bit up. And it, again, we're getting this rejection every time, and this is the 10 EMA that I'm using. So every time we're rotating and going a little bit higher, you know, the fear factor is coming in. The market is gyrating again to the downside. And as you can see, like every news brief, you know, the market is so sensitive to everything that's going on right now. And nobody wants to hold anything. Any increase in numbers of infected individuals is panicking the market. So everybody wants their money out because they have no idea. And we have never been in this situation ever before handling a pandemic.
Yeah. And, you know, like I say, people are locked up in their houses. So consumer spending, obviously, unless you're at the grocery store, is obviously off the board. And it's hard to evaluate a company if they're not going to have any earnings or any revenues coming in for a period of time. And how long that period of time is. Everyone's got the optimistic slant, you know, that it's a very short term, and God willing, it will be. But there's no assurance of that, because in China, they had a very contained area pretty much that had this thing, whereas we're getting 50 states that are having it. And that's a big difference than what happened in China.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So anyway, let's go to one that I have been staring at, because, you know, when a hurricane comes through, there could be two houses standing, and one could be Exxon and the other one could be Chevron. And these shale companies that are going to go for pennies on the dollar, if you have cash like Exxon and Chevron, you might be able to pick up the shale business for pennies on the dollar and come out the other side of this thing when Russia and Saudi Arabia are done fighting, looking pretty darn good. So this thing's down at 32 bucks. I think it's one of the lowest prices in what, like 50 years, 30 years or whatever. And how do you feel about Exxon?
Oh, you know, I love this company. I know a lot of investors are holding, shares of this company. They have really good dividends, but it's taking a hit. I mean, the fact that oil has gone so low, it's definitely affecting all of these companies. But like we've discussed earlier, I think there can be a great opportunity for a purchase when things turn around, when oil is going to start turning around, when the market is going to start turning around. I think XOM can be a really good, can be a definite steal into the $30 area.
I think you've got a good one there, Anka, because that $30 coincides with the lows of 1997 through 2001. So that $30 area, you know, could be quite interesting.
Exactly.
And then, on the Saudi stuff, you know, they're talking about pumping through the end of May and trying to kill, obviously, Russia as a competitor and kill the shale and the sand business. And if they feel like they've succeeded with that, that would be setting up an entire different Q3 and Q4 situation, possibly.
Yeah.
And that's why there could be some value here. But talk about catching a falling knife, huh?
Yeah, I wouldn't attempt to buy it right now, but this is definitely one of the stocks that is going to be on my, and is on my watch list for long term, especially that they have a really good dividend. And I'm very confident mention that these are really great trading opportunities, because if we look back in 2009, there were some really impressive companies out there that, you know, nobody believed that we're going to go back, into highs, let alone into new highs. And they were conservative. I know a lot of individuals that went cash and never got into the market, and they started going into the market last year, investing after about a 10-year period. And this happened.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, being on the investor side and being on the investor side, you have to really monitor the situation very, very closely and, you know, have a good read on the market. And when things are turning around, just be very nimble, just scale in very small. And then as the price is going higher, you can add some more based on the technical level.
Yeah. If the oil prices got into that 15 to 20 area, because 15 is the number where Aramco pre-dividend can make money. So that 15 to 20 area could be where we end up. And then if you start seeing a turn out of there, you know, this stock broke at 60, because that was the 2008 lows, right around 60. So if you could pick this thing up, sub 30, and then it could rally back to where the breakdown happened, which is around 60. That's a heck of a nice little turn over time too.
This is fantastic. Exactly. Yeah. This is exactly fantastic. And it has that void into the 60. It would be a beautiful trade. Mm-hmm. And again, this is a daily chart. And notice that within the last 5 days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So this whole entire last week, it made a new low, but it really didn't do much. So it's trying to stabilize. Now, when was the last time we would try to stabilize? We go back, and it was right here. So here it was trying to stabilize. It didn't commit to the upside. So there was not a take over $61, and then it continued lower. So I would monitor this this whole entire area. In fact, onto the weekly chart, this is very impressive. So if it trades over $37.90, $38, this could actually be a small leg in that can start pushing the price higher into the 50s. And this is what I'm watching. These are the parameters that I'm watching for going into next week. So above this high, $37.87, $37.90 by $31, and let's see if we can take this higher. And based on technical levels, we can add based on a daily chart or 4-hour chart or so. So we can trade around it.
All right. The next one is Apple. Obviously, you got Microsoft, Apple, Google, and Amazon as the four horsemen. And this is one of the four horsemen here. And we've got it at 229. Again, these have been very, very hesitant to go down. When there's such a downward momentum, people have to sell some good stocks to pay off the bad ones, right?
Absolutely.
So we got Apple at 229. The 2018 low is 150. So that's still way away. It finally got down to the 200-day moving average and went through it. It seems to be trying to, was there a high point there at 2018 of around 240? Maybe that's why it's bouncing, or was trying to bounce out of that neighborhood, or 230?
Yeah, exactly. This October 2018, a peak from which we started to pull back here. And this was that bad volatility that came into the market. It was so unusual for the end of the, so unusual for an end of the quarter to behave this way. But it's definitely trying to hold this prior high right here. So now it's trying to establish some kind of support. Let's see if this is going to hold. From the weekly standpoint, this is not very encouraging because it has not regained the 50 SMA and it closed into the lows. I still see a lot of pressure and a lot of individuals that were holding this stock just dumped it into the end of the trading session. And it closed very weak in my perspective. And I think that it may continue at least to trade into the 220s. I think that maybe 220s here going into next week. Let's see if this is going to hold. If this is going to hold, this could be a rotation point that we can start pushing higher. But if not, we still have a lot of room, for lower.
They closed 460 stores. And what's the likelihood of everyone to come out of here and trying to run down to get a $1,000 phone? Mm-hmm. So the question is, the stores are not getting any traffic, and B, their next product is supposed to be a little bit more expensive. And in the environment of the unemployment rate, where it's going to go. Although I think people sometimes would rather buy their Apple phone than eat. So, it seems like,
you know, that is true. Yeah. It's sad. It's sad, but it's true. Yeah.
You take somebody, you say, I'm going to take your phone away. They'd say, no, take my life, you know?
You know, that's so true.
All right. So anyway, yeah, Apple, again, on sale, and Microsoft on sale, and who'd ever think it? But, you know, when the pressure is to the downside, again, you have some people who have to sell good stocks to pay off the bad ones. Next one up is Gilead. And again, this is one of the guys that are supposed to be coming up with the remedy here. So obviously, it's had quite a bid lately, but it's been back and forth. Huh?
It's true. It's been back and forth. Look at the volatility. I mean, this is incredible. $64 all the way. It went to $85. Definitely became very volatile here, starting with this gap up. I had some shares, and I'm going to say that I sold them for $3 profit. I couldn't stand the volatility. It was so risky. I didn't want to lose, especially in this crazy environment. So I got in at 73 and I sold at 76 and I was done. I'm like, I am not going to take part in this mess right here. And that's because I don't do options. So I'm on, you know, I trade the common. Yeah. To me, it was like unbelievable volatility in this stock, but definitely it does have a lot of potential for a push higher. So technically speaking, the monthly chart is just down. It has stabilized here. I mean, take a look at this. The whole duration of 2019, it bottomed right here into the $60. It just didn't go a penny below that $60. And then with this craziness that is happening right now with coronavirus, it just spiked. And I truly, based on the technical pattern, if things are going to evolve good for Gilead, I think over $89.80, this could really snap up to $100 in a heartbeat. And then 120 is the second step.
Yeah, it does look like it's trying to show a momentum to the upside. And clearly that 60 number is very key. If you see it trade under there, then something bad has happened for sure. Okay, so where we are now is CODX. That's not one that I'm familiar with. So let's look it up. CODX. Oh, diagnostics.
I can't recall ever trading CODX.
4 million shares traded Friday, so somebody's trading it.
Yeah, somebody's trading it.
Well, it went from 69 cents to 21, so obviously it's been a home run derby, and then after 21, back to 10. So this is definitely a very racy stock.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, based on the fact that we don't have a lot of technicals in this stock because it's it has not been trading for much. I think the IPO came out, looking at a chart here, 2017. So July 2017. And then we don't have a lot of history in this stock. What we do know from this chart, so I don't know anything about the stock, but from the technical standpoint, we have these highs that are into the $7 area. And we can see that we're pretty much trying to balance here between $6 and $7. And this is where we got that lift that pushed the price higher into the $10. Definitely, in December and in January, this was, like you said, like a 60 something cent stock. It had a low, and also 90 cents here in January 2020, and it went from it basically went from this 90 cents all the way to $21. This is huge volatility right here. Huge.
And big volume, 14 million shares average volume in the last 50 day moving average. So now it's in the 3 and 4 million. So definitely the fever has been broken on this thing.
Yeah.
And again, the moving average on the 200 days at $2.17. So when you hit 21, you are 10 times above the 200 day moving average. And obviously anything that's doing that is just has a mind of its own. And obviously it's coming back to sea level to try to obviously move that gap between the moving averages of 5 and 2 and 21. Now you're in the tens. Anybody who was doing this stock obviously, made a big home run, and I'm sure their inquiry has to be about, is this going to go back up, and is this going to give me another big home run? And it's only a $265 million market cap, so it's a small company to begin with, right? And they are losing money. According to my screen here, earnings per share shows a minus, so there's some huge speculation, and looks like the speculators have taken some money off the table.
I think so too. What I'm noticing here is that we also have the this pennant. So this could go, in my opinion, in either direction.
Right.
So, you know, if you guys are asking, you know, our opinion on this, and my opinion on this would be like, I don't know, maybe over $13 can run into 16, maybe 18, and then back to 20. But on the other hand, if it breaks $9.50, we could start seeing $8, $6, and why not? It could go back to the 90 cents.
So I think what people are hoping for is that pullback that took you down towards the moving average at around six or something was the pullback. And then it had the rally. And then it comes to a consolidation, like you're saying, it looks like a pennant, right? Or a wedge or whatever.
Exactly. Right.
And if it breaks above 12, they're obviously hoping that we revisit the 18 to 22, right?
Right. Exactly.
And they might be right. And they might be right. I don't know anything about the company. They must have something going because it didn't go from 69 cents to 21 for no reason.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like I said, I didn't do any research on CODX. I have not traded it. I'm pretty sure a lot of day traders have been around this because I guess it came up on the scanners quite often, hitting new highs.
Did you have a couple of stocks you wanted to talk about or some methodology you wanted to share? Because we're getting down to the last 15 or 20 minutes, and this is a good time for you to step in and show you some of your proprietary stuff.
Okay. So on my watch list, just trying to get my mouse back here. Okay. So for my watch list, and on my watch list, I definitely have a few stocks, and these are Microsoft. We talked about. I also have AMD, and these are also computer components, right? So I think that there's a great chance that when the market is going to turn around, and if it's going to turn around, these are going to be the first stocks that are going to start pushing higher because they have not seen like a tremendous decline like we've seen in other stocks that are affected. And there's going to be a huge demand of tech. And more people are going to work from home, obviously those that are, in other sectors, but I think AMD has a great potential for the upside. This is going to be, and I do have a small position in it that we initiated on Thursday. But from the weekly perspective, I like the pullback into the 50 SMA, and it's going to look fantastic if we trade over 43.50. We're going to start pushing higher. There's a little bit of gyration that is going to happen into the 45 point. There may be some selling pressure coming in here from this prior low, from these moving averages. But I think if we're going to start having a big push over this, we're going to see 50. This is going to be and going into the rest of the year, this is going to be a very good stock to watch for a continuation of the trend. It has done nothing wrong. It just consolidated. All the technical levels are still intact. It's not downtrending. These are just brief pullbacks that are happening on major time frames, monthly chart, also on the weekly chart here into the 50 SMA. And this is not all, but we're having prior resistance here from these prior highs. And this was last year, August last year. So
35 is a very important number, huh?
Exactly. We have this double top right here. We have an ascending pattern. So if this manages to hold this week's low and trade consistently and make a high above 43, and if we're getting the general market at least holding and trying to push a little bit higher, this is going to have a fantastic outcome. So AMD's top on my list right now.
Yeah.
What else I have on my list? Well, obviously Cisco and they're kind of like related, right? Cisco, top of my list. I just want to put the daily chart here. We've been having this dance around within the last 5 days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We made a low on Monday, and then we started to grind higher and higher and higher. We got a little bit rejected here into the 20 SMA. And notice how we're getting these rejections right into the 20 SMA. This is such a high technical market. It's unbelievable. They're running into a moving average. You're immediately seeing the selling pressure coming in. So it's unbelievable. So I don't have a very wide, very, very wide watch list, but also Amazon. Amazon, this is the stock that literally is going to do very well. It's going to come out of this crisis on a positive note. A lot of individuals are doing their shopping on Amazon, myself included. So, okay.
And they have, 150 million Prime members, which is constant cash flow?
Exactly. 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 And I see Robert typed here in the room that CODX is a company kicking out test kits for COVID-19. Thank you so much.
You would imagine that. Yeah, you would imagine that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So without even knowing, we knew there was something going on.
Right.
COVID-related stocks. Yeah, COVID-related stocks. One other thing that I wanted to mention is Walmart. These are going to be on high demand. Obviously, stocks, I think they're going to come out with really good earnings going into next quarter with all the shopping that has been going on lately. So Walmart is also, take a look at the volatility in Walmart, but Walmart is still trading. I mean, take a look, it's 113. I mean, it's still trading into the January 8th level, into last year's level, and to October level. So I think we're going really good.
I think it's increasingly probable. We'll have to see how next week opens, but its probabilities might be favorable for a month-end snapback a little bit, because I've noticed Home Depot's low was 140, now it's 152. McDonald's low was 124, now it's 148. Starbucks low was 50, now it's 58. And again, that VIX has had a triple top up there at 85. It's in the 60s. And if the VIX were to drop into the 40s, it might coincide with a little bit of a snapback rally. I think they call it some kind of a wave counter trend rally. That doesn't mean the lows are in. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be hunky-dory. It just means that we could get a bounce before the end of the month if some news happens to make people, you know, stop selling a bit, and also maybe the algos go the other way a bit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree. Costco is another name that I have on my list.
It's on the list here too. Why don't we push that up and see what's going on?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go to the monthly chart. Shallow pullback to the 10 exponential moving average in February. And in March, we have quite an indecision here, but we're still testing and holding the 10 EMA. Excuse me. And I think that it has a lot of potential for the upside. Also, the weekly chart, we can see support here from this prior low. We see also the support deriving from this prior high right here. So this is a very, very important point, the 280 area. If we hold the 280 area, I think that we could start having a push back to the upside. Obviously, because of the environment, it's still going to be volatile. So it's going to have really crazy price action if you're going into daily. So you could see like up and down and up and down and up and down. This is again, a lot of panic here and a lot of fear. People are buying and then we're reaching some kind of support zone and they're selling back again and they're buying it again. So they're playing the range basically, but it's a stop that it's really, really, really trying to hold right here. So I really like Costco and Walmart moving forward.
It's really tailor-made for the environment too, because you're supposed to buy 50,000 rolls of toilet paper when you go to Costco, and that's what people are buying right now.
Exactly. But the thing is that, you know, I'm looking at this, you know, on the other side. So obviously, I think that they're going to come out with good earnings going into the second quarter. However, you know, think about all these individuals that have hoarded a lot of stuff, right? A lot of stuff. So I think that the third quarter, you know, if may not look, because people are stocked up, people are not going to rush buying anymore because they have like mountains of toilet paper. They have mountains of, you know,
pasta.
Oh my God, it's incredible, and rice and everything and flowers. So they have huge quantities of food. I think that, you know, Costco is not going to see when things are going to get back to some kind of a normal in the upcoming months. Costco is not going to have as much sales probably as, you know, as it had, or maybe it will. I don't know. It all depends on the context and where we go from here and what we go from here, and if we take a turn for the worse or if we take a turn for the best.
Right. With regards to a couple more that we've got here, TVIX.
TVIX. Okay.
And again, this the we can really talk about both SPXS and TVIX in the same light, because they're both having to do with you know, two times and three times things. One is on the S&P short, that's SPXS, and TVIX has to do with playing the VIX.
Yeah.
So with these three times, two times things. So
no, you know, and I don't trade it.
It's not my cup of tea. So if it's your cup of tea, please drink it.
No, you know, the reality is. Because I trade shares, I don't do options. So I do the VXX, and I keep an eye on the VIX just to see the correlation between the VIX and the VXX. But this is what I trade. I trade the VXX always, and I base my decisions, on pretty much on this trade. It was very encouraging for me going on Friday into Friday's trading session because I'm a day trader and I wanted to take some NASDAQ futures long at that point. I was looking for a break below $56 and $55 in the VIX. So I always correlate this fear factor to the trade that I'm in, especially now, because this is not something that I go to every single day to trade, but this would provide me additional confirmation that the price may be getting ready to push a little bit.
If this VIX is coming back into these moving averages, we are going to get a counter trend rally.
Yes, absolutely.
And the other thing is this VIX reminds me of TLT, if you can put TLT up there.
Yes,
TLT looks
sure.
like it looks like it blew off at 180 and yeah. or whatever, 190. And I would be very surprised if you take that out anytime soon. And that's the low on interest rate. So when the yield hit like 0.3 on the 10-year, that's what that 180 kind of stuff looks like. And what's the likelihood of going back down towards those yields with the kind of stimulus they're trying to do? And I'm seeing some of the commodities are getting a bounce now. And I'm seeing the yields, obviously, on the 30-year almost went back towards 2% from about 1%. So it doubled yield in a very short time. So it seems to me like we could have had some blow-offs here temporarily anyway. And that VIX thing that they're talking about, TVIX, that hit 1,000. And again, that looks a little bit like a blow-off, a high point as well. So we'll have to see.
Exactly.
If there is further selling on the downside, maybe it won't be as robust. Maybe we won't see a 2,000-point day. Maybe it'll be 2 weeks of going down 300 points. You know what I mean?
I agree.
And that might be more of that type of environment. But
I agree.
For next week, and you're a short-term trader, I'm sure you're considering the concept of that counter-trend rally. And the 10-day moving average on the S&P is around 2550. So it certainly wouldn't be off the charts if we did have a counter-trend rally to go up towards that. You see that red line there?
Mm-hmm.
You can see that's held all the way down. That's a pretty good average in my view for selling against selling into a trend or buying into a trend, that 10-day moving average. As you can see, it's been pretty accurate. Every time it went up towards it, it would have been a good time to reinstitute shorts.
Right.
So, but let's see, one BMY, that's another drug company, Bristol-Myers Squibb.
Bristol-Myers.
And it's one of the Cadillacs of the industry. And Cadillac is on sale here for about 33% lower than it was at the 52-week high.
Yeah.
And it's bounced off that 42 number. And what do you think of Bristol-Myers?
I used to trade Bristol-Myers for swing trading purposes. And it's such a crazy stock. I'm not a big fan of pharmaceuticals, not a big fan of biotech. So I used to day trade them sometimes, really, really short-term swings. But I find that, once you get into it, it's just like you're sitting in it for a long period of time. So I don't really like to keep my capital at work, exercising every day. And I don't want to just leave it there. But I mean, the reality is that we had different layers of support. Starting with 2014, we made a high, and then we try to keep this level here into the $60 and went a little bit higher into the 77 in mid 2016. And then we took a hit and then it went back up again. So to me, this pattern is descending. I don't like it as much. I think that it could start going to the $40 area.
Yeah, it looks like it could blow out the low. Let's go for the last one on the list be the last one for the day, and this is Viacom. And this is where you combined Viacom and CBS, two companies that some might call are dated, and their content they have is also getting a little dated. I saw Perry Mason on Viacom on TV, and I didn't know they still had the prints for Perry Mason, but they do. Where Netflix and Disney and all those guys are all creating new content and somewhat current content.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are seemingly trying to sell old content, and that's why their PE ratio is at 2 and their yield's at 8, and the stock is pressing, obviously it hit a $10 number at about a 20% jump. Is there value down here? Obviously the PE ratio is 2.
I
a trader like you, I don't know. What do you think?
I wouldn't buy it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy buy it. I have zero interest in this. Maybe to the short side.
Yeah, maybe to the short side.
This is all the available data that we had. So this is from 2095. I don't have a good, even though it has support here into the $10, which is so psychological, I wouldn't be a buyer here.
Yeah, it looks like a firm that obviously is trying to find a place for their content. And if they do, then you have a bargain down here at $10 and you're getting paid a good dividend, unless they slash it, because that's the next thing on the chopping block.
Exactly.
All these big dividends you see, I mean, don't get seduced too much, because there could be a nice Ginzu knife going through those dividends pretty quickly, because these guys are going to try to conserve their cash, which is why I think Boeing suspended their dividend. So they, you know, they want to conserve their cash and not distribute it in dividends right now because of the volatile situation.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we are at the top of the hour, Anka. So please reintroduce yourself if you would, and any special offers you'd like to extend, this would be a great time to do it.
Okay. So for those of you that are new here and hear me for the first time, so I do day trade futures, and you're welcome to join our trading room. I trade only from 9 o'clock until 12 o'clock. That's the sweet spot for me. And I also swing trade stocks and futures, obviously commodities, etc. I do that every day. And we also have a class that is coming up. It is a 5-day live online. And you're also going to get to trade with me for 30 days. If you want more information about that, you could go to our website, tradeoutloud.com/futures. Or if you would like to, if you're interested in the trading room with us, we have a transparent portfolio on our website. If you hover your mouse over the trading room tab, you will see our everyday performance right there since 2017, since we created trading room. And this is a wrap.
All right. Well, Anka, I tell you, you know, obviously you've been in the business a long time and you have a lot of product knowledge and you have a specialty with the shorter term trading. This is a time where many people have either gotten whacked and they're out of the market, or they're holding on for dear life and they're not doing anything. They're frozen. Either way, you could invest your time in learning more about what other people's approaches are and what other people's views are while you're either doing nothing or on the sidelines. So this is a great time to step up to the plate and find out what Anka's doing and take advantage of the fact that she's giving some of this stuff out for free, and you'll be able to become acquainted with her approach. So I think it'd be very smart for people to jump on that, particularly in this period of time where many people may have time on their hands, especially now that they're home. They've got plenty of time on their hands, right? So good time to get educated. Always a good time to get educated, but now it seems like you might have the time to do it and the focus. So take advantage of what Anka was talking about. I'm Jim Kenny. Every week I have a market update, and I go over everything from the stock market, bond market, gold, oil, currency, dollar, as well as different markets as well. And again, I have quite a number of different ideas and opinions that I do share. So if you want to get in the queue, just simply go to option, or email us at optionprofessor@gmail.com, and we'll put you in the queue. Right now, I'm swinging it back over to David Kosmeter, who is the brains behind this outfit, and I'll send it over to David right now. Thank you, Anka.
All right. Thanks, Jim and Anka. Lots of good info today. So just have a quick reminder for everyone. If you missed part of the episode today or want to watch it again, I will have the recording up on timingresearch.com as soon as I can get it posted. Also, you can subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube or your favorite podcast network to get all the updates that way. Thanks for everyone showing up, who showed up live this morning for the special episode. I'm going to be doing probably a lot more of these special episodes over the next few weeks, so be sure to watch your email. And I just want to thank my guests again for today, Anka Metcalf of tradeoutloud.com and Jim, the option professor at optionprofessor.com. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, David, for having me, and thank you, Jim.
You bet, Anka.